because it's just bank holidays like every other week, isn't it? It's great. It'd be really good if you could have the Ecclesiastes passage that we heard read to us open in front of you. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 9 to 14. My wife has been revising for an exam recently, and I thought she might like verse 12 from this passage. It says, "Much study wearies the body." But I'm afraid that the point of this passage tonight isn't that we don't need to take exams as Christians. We will find out what it is about in a minute. So let's pray before we dive in. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Please illuminate where we need to be changed as we listen to your word tonight. And as we heard in that reading earlier, please help us not to merely listen to the word, but to do what it says. Amen. Well, tonight we've come to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. I say we, I've only been here for one other part of the series, but we've come to the end of the book. And it's a book with a seemingly never-ending search for the meaning of life. The preacher searches down every possible avenue, but everything that he finds is meaningless. You might even be feeling quite relieved to get to the end of the book. It might have been frustrating because it exposes the confusion in this world. It reminds us of everything in life that we don't understand. Each week searching and searching for meaning, but finding nothing. Well, tonight is good news because we can finally call off the search. We've come to the conclusion of the matter, as it says in verse 13. And the key message to us tonight is don't keep on with that never-ending search for meaning. The preacher has finished his search, and his conclusion is clear. Fear God and keep his commandments. So I've got 3 points tonight. They're up there on the screen, hopefully. call off the search, fear God, and rejoice in the resurrection. Call off the search, fear God, and rejoice in the resurrection. So call off the search. Look down with me at verses 11 and 12 in your Bibles. The words of the wise are like goads. Their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. At the end of Ecclesiastes, the preacher issues us with a clear warning. He says, call off the search. Stop looking for meaning. Stop searching. I've found the answer. I've found the truth. And there's not going to be any other answer. You've been looking at Ecclesiastes for quite a while now on Sunday nights. But I wonder whether you can remember back to what happened right at the start. Here's what the author says in chapter 1. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? And he goes on to explain what his aim is in the book. He says, I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. He says, I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. And so the preacher goes on this huge search for meaning. He's looking for anything that actually lasts, anything that is truly worthwhile in life. And as you've seen over the weeks, he tries everything. He enjoys success. He makes loads of money. He grows a vineyard, makes some nice vintages of wine. He pursues wisdom in itself. And then he starts to look outwards from himself. He sees injustice in the world and how unfair things are. And he sees the meaninglessness that death brings to our lives. Life goes by quickly, and yet we take nothing with us. And all this searching that he does results in this remarkable book, Ecclesiastes. Look down with me at verses 9 and 10. Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. See, we're reminded at the start of today's passage that the preacher took great care in writing this book. And so we should listen carefully to what he says, particularly his conclusion today. But it's also important to note that these aren't just anyone's wise words. Look at the end of verse 11 with me. It says, these words are like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. They aren't just the preacher's words. They're not human wisdom. They're words given by God himself, the source of all wisdom. In verse 1 of chapter 12, God is called the Creator. It's a name which reminds us of his awesome power, flinging the stars into space, and his greatness. And in this verse, we see the other side of our great God. God as a shepherd who cares for us. A God who isn't far off, but close at hand. A God who knows us and who can be known through his words. It's his wisdom. And his message to us through the author isn't just babbling or pointless words. It's words of truth spoken in order to provoke us into action. Take a look at verse 11. The words of the wise are like goads. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails. I don't know if you've heard of a goad. I haven't heard of one. Apparently it's a spiked stick used to prod cattle in the right direction. So cowboys in the Wild West might goad cattle across the meadows. It's a fairly blunt analogy, isn't it? It's saying that like cattle, we need pushing with a sharp stick in the right direction. We need prodding until we recognize that we can fix our lives to these firmly embedded nails, these solid truths, this wisdom from God. We don't need to search any longer. I've been enjoying a book by a former MI5 undercover officer over the bank holiday, it gives you an insight in some of the methods that they use in MI5 for keeping tabs on terrorist suspects. And you learn some fun things like how to avoid being trailed when you're driving the car. And I think any man reading this book, for some reason, thinks, I need to store that up just in case I need it. One of the main things that has struck me, other than how to avoid being followed in the car, is that it's just a never-ending search. The search goes on and on. They spend months searching for a terrorist, but as soon as the case is solved, or as soon as they're behind bars, straight away the next afternoon they're searching for the next one. It's like searching for a needle in a haystack. As soon as they've finished looking for one terrorist, they're searching for another. And yet, unlike the search for terrorists, the search for meaning in life doesn't have to be never-ending. Friends, it's a great relief that we can call off the search. We don't need to keep trying to unravel life's mystery. The answer is right here in the words of this preacher, inspired by God. And the preacher makes sure that there's no chance we can miss the answer. Take a look at the final two verses in this passage. They're a summary of the whole book of Ecclesiastes. It says this: now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. And that's my second point. Fear God. Fear God. All the way through the book, the preacher has been trying to find different paths, attempting to find something of eternal significance. And yet every single path has been shown to be meaningless. It's quite a tricky word to translate in the Hebrew, apparently, meaninglessness. But it could be translated as vapor. Every path is just empty and fades into nothing. It's vapor. But in this final chapter, the path is different. It's a path that points to God. We see that after all has been said and done, at the end of the matter, the whole purpose of our lives, our whole duty, is to trust God and follow his ways. He is what we were made for. He is where we find rest for our souls and true satisfaction. We're told that fearing God and keeping his commandments is the whole duty of man. But in the Hebrew, it's even more encompassing than that. It's more like It's the whole of man. Fearing God and keeping his commandments is the whole of man. And it's a complete contrast to the meaninglessness of everything the preacher has talked about. You might be wondering what it actually looks like to fear God. It's not like Darth Vader in Star Wars with that dreaded... Can't do a very good impression. But listen to this from chapter 5. It's not like Darth Vader. Chapter 5 says, "Much dreaming and many words are meaninglessness. Therefore, stand in awe of God." Fearing God means standing in awe of God, standing back and seeing who he is, his incredible character, and his amazing works. Fearing God means recognizing that only he can make straight what is crooked. And it means recognizing that his purposes and promises stand even during the ups and downs of our lives. And so to fear God is to recognize that all of this life has its end in him, and so do we. So rather than seeking praise and attention for ourselves, we'll put God front and center in our lives, knowing that nothing goes unnoticed. See, the final verse really drives home the point. Take a look down at verse 14. "For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Nothing in life goes unnoticed and unassessed, not even things that we hide from ourselves. Every deed will be judged by God. Everything matters. It's a scary thought that puts us in our place, and it kills our complacency. But it also transforms life. If God cares that much, then nothing is pointless. I'm sure some of you, or probably many of you, have experienced bad managers at work, or if you haven't, then maybe you've seen a few good examples on The Office TV series. And one of the worst things to have in the workplace is a boss who just doesn't care, isn't it? A boss who never says thank you, a boss who never gives you any feedback, never tells you how you can improve. Good managers give us a purpose, don't they? They make us want to do better. They notice what we do, and they say thank you, or they correct us. And we feel that our work is valued, whereas a bad manager makes you feel like you're just wasting your time. And when we fear God, it's a bit like reporting to the perfect boss. God cares deeply about each worker and the work that they do. He gives us purpose and meaning. He notices and judges every single thing. And so if we fear God, we'll want to keep his commandments. We'll want to do what pleases him. Genuine faith, genuine fear of God, always results in wanting to please God by keeping his commandments, as it says in verse 13. We're told that God will judge every deed. Nothing will be hidden. And so there is meaning in life. And yet we're still left with a huge gaping problem. You see, the fact that what we do actually matters leaves us with a problem. Back in chapter 7, we're told this: "There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins." None of us fear God as we should do. We've all sinned. What is the biggest reminder of that? What is the biggest reminder that we've all sinned? The biggest reminder of all is death. We're left with the huge problem of death. I wonder if you've ever sort of joined the dots in your head and recognized that death only exists because of sin. It doesn't always quite filter down, does it? Every death is a verdict of sin. Death is the penalty of sin. We've been reminded through the course of this book that it's ultimately death which makes life meaningless. Life becomes this pointless cycle. We're born, we grow, we work, we might marry and have kids, and then we die. And that could be at any point. There's no fairness, there's no justice. death is the greatest dead end. The clock is ticking, and every breath is a step closer to the grave, when we lose everything that we've worked for. It's pretty depressing, as we found right the way through Ecclesiastes. But thankfully, it doesn't end there. And that's my final point. Rejoice in the resurrection. Rejoice in the resurrection. The reason that we've just celebrated the good news of Easter, the reason it's so fantastic, is because it doesn't end there. Listen to this great news from 1 Corinthians 15. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Why can we call off the search? We can call it off because Jesus didn't stay dead in the grave. He broke through that barrier. And so the meaningless cycle of life and death has been broken. And one day he will return to wrap everything up. It's not endless. God has ordained a time for the beginning. And he's ordained a day when everything will be fulfilled and time will be fulfilled. And on that day, Jesus will return and every wrong will be made right. And everything right will be recognized and commended. And so there's a clear warning to us tonight. Stop searching. Verse 12 says, my son, beware of anything beyond these firmly fixed truths. And there might be folks here tonight who are still searching. You're still on the search for meaning. You've been asking questions for a long time. Maybe there's a better way. Maybe there's some other way. Maybe there's something new. God is saying to you in this passage, this is the truth. Don't be tempted to move on and find fulfillment in work or relationships or another religion. There isn't anything else. Call off the search. Come home to the Father. When Jesus returns, you're either going to be with him or you're going to be against him. So have faith, fear God, and rejoice in what Jesus has done for you. If we're Christians, maybe we've realized tonight or over the course of this series that we've been flirting with trying to find fulfillment elsewhere. The clamor and importance of the world makes God's word seem too quiet and small. And so we're tempted to move beyond these wise words. We're tempted to find purpose and meaning elsewhere. And maybe that's led to us not putting God first as we should. Maybe in our decisions in the workplace or about work. Maybe in our relationships. And once again, we need to fear God. We need to stand back in awe at what he's done and make him number one in our lives. And then there'll be many here tonight who do fear God. You're basing your lives on these solid truths, and you know it. You don't do it perfectly. But the main thing that you need tonight is encouragement to keep going. Our Christian endeavors can seem small and weak. We might have to make sacrifices. But Ecclesiastes tells us that our labors are not in vain. In fact, they are the only thing that's of lasting worth, even when everything else might seem so glamorous and successful. We're told that God sees every deed. Jesus has won the victory over death, so keep on going. Listen to these fantastic verses from 1 Corinthians 15 to finish. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's pray. Father God, Thank you that death has been swallowed up in victory. Jesus is risen. Please help us to really take on board the preacher's words that there is no point searching any further. Help us to commit ourselves 100% to you and make you number one in every area of our life. Please help us to fear you above everything else, knowing that our labour in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. Well, we're going to sing to finish, to rejoice in the resurrection. So let's stand and sing, O Worship the King.